Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. I'm Jerry Bain. This podcast conversation was recorded at the Coalition for Networked Information Fall 2013 meeting. My interview is with Harriet Hamasi, the Joukowsky Family University Librarian at Brown University. I started our conversation by asking her to tell me about the Brown University Library Digital Scholarship Lab and some of the ways it's being used.
The lab is primarily just this big open space with a huge screen that it's like 7 by 16 foot, and it's 12 individual monitors that are put together that can work as a unit or work independently, controlled by, you know, a laptop or whatever. One of the great things is that it has this sort of low barrier to access, so students and faculty can come in and actually use the space, which is terrific. The lab has been both a place for teaching, a place for experimentation, and also a place for presentation. And we've been very conscious of trying to get each one of those kind of areas working. So for teaching, we invite faculty to come in and teach their classes, even if they don't use the full capacity of the software and the screen and so on. We have a lot of classes that, for example, there's a digital storytelling class that's been taught in the lab, and each student can, you know, claim part of the landscape, right. And then show what their story is, and then compare those notes and so on. And that's a really fascinating use of the space. For presentations, we invite people who can use the total capacity of the big screen and so on, and people who just want to show glorified PowerPoints, right, and have a great, right, space to show it.
Seems
and
like so you could also have maybe some art installations.
Absolutely. So one of the most fascinating presentations that we had last spring, and this fellow will teach in the lab this spring, is a data sonification. So he has a background in electronic music, but what he did was use data from flowers. And then he controlled the sound based on both the color and the shape and size of the petals that made up the flower. Wow. It's really fascinating. So there's also a great sound system in the room and a video conferencing system. So the other thing that I really like about the lab is that I think it blurs the division between virtual and physical on so many levels, sort of on a conceptual level, but also in a reality level as well. So sometimes when we're teaching, we also then invite another class or experts from another institution or whatever to pop into the class, and they're actually bigger than the people in the class because of the size of the screen.
Right.
But anyway, it's been a really great opportunity to learn about what we thought would work and then to see how people actually use it. And students come and look into the lab, and they even take pictures with their iPhone of the big screen.
Wow.
But they've been a little bit reluctant to come into the lab just themselves, even though we have open hours. Uh-huh. But now we have classes in the lab that also require students to come after hours and work in the lab, and that's sort of encouraging.
Getting them comfortable.
Right, yeah. Right. So I felt bad, you know, that students wouldn't come, because really that's why we made the lab. But I also heard that other institutions have the same issue. So North Carolina State University, which is like this giant innovation lab, the whole thing, you know, they also said that they have trouble getting students coming in.
Just kind of factor.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So in what ways are libraries serving faculty doing research involving new forms of digital scholarship?
So I'm going to change the word serving faculty to the word partnering with faculty. Mm-hmm. And I think in this odd sense that faculty are more accepting of librarians in this space than maybe they have been in the recent past, mm-hmm, of working with librarians in, say, the classroom. A lot of the traditional research that was done, maybe they needed us to look up citations or to get the books or the articles or whatever for them. So this sort of compilation effort was always part of the process of doing research, and faculty have relied on libraries for that. But now I think the concept of compiling materials, curating materials, so this massive set of resources that you have, which are the most related, you know, and which parts even are the most related? And then could you digitize these? Could you help me annotate these? So one example that we're working on right now is a project of a set of sort of rare materials from the 16th to the 18th century about Rome, especially about the artifacts of Rome. And many of these books were reprinted and the images or the plates were added without correct annotation or without any annotation. It was like, here's an example of a map.
Yeah. You know? What is this map?
Yeah, right. So one of the projects that we're working on is helping the faculty member, along with this whole big group of students, create metadata at the page level or the image level for these books so that the images can be reconnected with the engravers or the artist and with the publishers and so on. And that's a really fascinating project to be able to kind of zoom through that material, and it's like tying strings or something, and then they all get reconnected. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
So you feel like there's more trust between faculty and librarians than there used to be, possibly?
Yeah.
Or am I putting words?
I wouldn't say trust so much, but there's a greater need. So many faculty, especially faculty who might be tenured or further along in the tenure process, grew up without the kind of digital skills, you know, the knowledge of working with these tools and so on. So they need to rely on, they have the great ideas, and but they don't necessarily have the digital skills.
Right.
So they rely on the librarians then to help provide that. Faculty earlier in their careers may have some of the digital skills but may not know the content as well. So I think it's a really good partnership, and this ability to work across collections, to work with data in a variety of ways, to kind of expose that data to make it actionable.
What kinds of technologies, facilities, and services support faculty and graduate students doing digital projects?
So I think some of the most basic things that we do are digitization, markup, data modeling. So layout is a very important thing. Understanding kind of the ability to move from one area to another in a set of documents or data. Visualization, of course, is another opportunity that we're now able to offer, but we're also learning about different kinds of visualization and what's most effective and so on. I think the ability to work easily between print and any other kind of media, and so this kind of multimedia environment. I mean, we throw these terms around as if we could actually do this. It's still very hard.
Yeah.
The technology is still behind our thought and our visions. Mm-hmm. And that's not just true at Brown, that's true every place.
Right.
That it seems like it ought to be easy to show a video and to then be able to annotate places in that video and then connect those same places to documents, to maps, whatever. It's amazingly difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kinds of skills are needed for information professionals to provide support for these digital projects?
Yeah, so a lot of the things that I've already mentioned, but I think design is, it sounds sort of cheap, you know, mm-hmm. but it isn't. So information design is extremely important. The layout, the interface, the ability to show and to use what it is that you're presenting. Programming skills are very important, repository skills, so as well as statistical analysis. These are things that are not often thought of as skills that libraries have or should have, but I think we're actually entering an era where we have to have at least a bit of this. Data visualization, ability to help faculty do data mining as well as data modeling. Mm-hmm. So these are skills that I believe that we need.
The promotion and tenure guidelines at many universities emphasize publications in journals or monographs. Do you think that there will be a change in acceptance of large-scale digital scholarship outputs as an equivalent to traditional forms of output?
I think we're already seeing changes in this era. the Modern Language Association has issued a statement which I hope helps along these lines. But I also feel that there are these kind of websites that are being developed that may in time have sort of a peer review element. Mm-hmm. So we see this coming out of Stanford, that there are websites there that have been, whatever's the content that's put on these, content that are sort of complex objects, multimedia objects that don't fit in any kind of journal that's being published today, yet it is very clearly a serious scholarship that deserves to be disseminated and also deserves the kind of acceptance from the scholarly community. I think institutional repositories could also play this function. Even the role of the institution itself in acknowledging the scholarship that its own faculty produce. Right now at Brown, we're talking about the question of having a open access resolution, and would there only be peer-reviewed journals, articles that are put into this portion of the repository? And many of us believe that other kinds of scholarly work should also be in that repository, in that section of the repository that reflect the intellectual and scholarly output mm-hmm. of faculty, whether it has been blessed by the total scholarly community, could it not be acknowledged by our own institution as valued and important? Just as in the past, I mean, or I should say even now, when we look at CVs of faculty and when they pass through the tenure and promotion review, there's a section for artists or for performers and so on. I mean, there should also be a way in which to capture and to share these same kinds of performances or performative kinds of works and so on.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I very much appreciate it.
Great.
Harriet Hamasi is the Joukowsky Family University Librarian at Brown University. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.